prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And today is Friday, June 17th, 2016. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
Had another nice recovery today, and gold still hovering around that 1300 level. She'll break it, and she'll break the 1400, the 1500, and the 3000. So, but this is just a little irritation here at the 1300 level. Gold was up 2060 today at 1299.60. Silver is up 29 at 1754. Not a lot of action in the two white industrial metals. Platinum was not a lot of change. 973, palladium 536. USDX today, I haven't had a chance to follow this all day. Today, let's see, the dollar down 0.50 at 94.14. Not a big move in the dollar considering gold being up 20, but a big move in crude oil taking back its loss from yesterday, up 1.82 at 48.03. For crude oil. And the paper markets today, there was pressure on it all day. Let me get to those numbers. And hectic day here at Discount Gold and Silver Trading. You should be purchasing gold and silver. Let's see, the Dow 58.90 to the downside, 17,674. The NASDAQ down 44,4800. The S&P down 7,2071. The 10-year yield moved up a little bit, 0.05 at 1.62%. Naturally, the euro is stronger, 1.13, up 0.46. And, you know, with our 100-point gain yesterday, you basically had Asian and European markets stronger. Chatter was it was because of what happened in London at the Brexit vote that's due on the 23rd of June, perhaps would be postponed, rescheduled due to the attack on the Joe Cox and a politician over in Britain, but I guess it's still scheduled for June 23rd. So. Not sure if that's why we saw the markets coming back, thinking that things would be a little more stable. Finding out today it's still going to be on, and we're seeing a reversal in things. So still slated for June 23rd, and we'll just have to see what happens. Miss Cox, she supported the EU membership, and they thought perhaps the polls would show a little bit of wind out of the sails for the exit of the European Union. And it did make a little bit of difference, but it shows that those polls are beginning to reverse. So I think initially there was all these knee-jerk reactions to what actually happened and possibly to why and so forth. So looks like we're back on for June 23rd, which is next Thursday.
I think actually if they wanted to postpone it, it's not enough to shoot one member of parliament. They'd probably have to get a majority, maybe all of them.
I mean, that isn't the, it's somebody lost their lives and it's, with family and children. No.
Yeah, I get that. I get that. But this is like somebody, the neighbor's cat died. All right. Well, and therefore, I'm going to go out and buy or sell 1,000 shares of General Motors.
Well, I don't think that's quite.
It's absurd. There's a certain amount of absurdity.
I don't think that's quite. I think they're really looking for the markets to have a major impact if they decide to pull out of the European Union. Markets are bracing themselves. And so, you do get these knee-jerk reactions, and trades are readjusted. So,
but what's it got to do with one member of parliament? I mean, I don't see that there is.
It does change mind. Perhaps it doesn't change your mind, Al, but it does change a lot of the general populace out there. And would it change my mind? No, but it still has. You have to remember too. You have a lot of these markets, the stock markets that are traded by computers with information and so forth, and they have a mind of their own. So,
actually, they have an algorithm of their own, Melody.
Perhaps.
Or my computer has an algorithm of its own.
With AI, no, I'd have to say it probably has a mind of its own anymore. Perhaps.
That's because you think we're in the Matrix.
I don't think we're in the Matrix, but I do believe there's a huge illusion that has been created, that looking at this world is not quite what it seems.
Well, I guarantee that's true. I mean, trying to find out what the world really, what's really going on in this world, you can almost bet that most of what you're told, especially by mainstream media and or government, is intended to deceive and mislead rather than try to say, here's what's happening. Here's the truth of the matter.
I mean, it's government, it's Wall Street, it's bankers, it's the whole, slew of them. And they're out there becoming more powerful. They're out there becoming more wealthy. And
trying to.
And they've done a pretty good job of, there's pretty many new billionaires out there and so forth.
Yeah, I get that. But when you talk about institutions becoming more powerful, you can look at the Federal Reserve, and I don't know that that's becoming more
powerful. I'm not thinking about institutions. I'm thinking about individuals that are becoming more powerful because of their wealth. And, the Zuckerbergers of the world, the Soros of the world, they have the money to change a lot. Here's an interesting article I came across today. Everybody talks about the housing crisis is over. We talk about what happened in 2008. And what I've said for a very long, long time, there's no affordable housing in this country. The pricing of homes and rents are far beyond what most people can afford. And there was a survey done by the MacArthur Foundation, and there is still a housing crisis that is going on. It's not about the subprime bubble burst, but again, the ability to have stable and affordable housing. There was a vast majority of respondents, about 81%, that said housing affordability is a problem, and one-third said they knew they or someone they know has been evicted, foreclosed on, or lost their housing in the past 5 years. Over half of the respondents, 53%, said that they had to make sacrifices over the past 3 years to be able to pay their mortgage or their rent. You know, people who own homes, taxes continue to rise, property taxes continue to rise, your utilities continue to rise. So what once was perhaps a manageable payment, all of a sudden now is up considerably due just to those couple of increases that you might experience. And I believe everyone experiences the property taxes. Is it solvable? Well, I don't know. We'll have inflation in this world. People think that buying a home is a good investment. Well, you know, everybody expects it to continue to rise. You buy a home and it's supposed to go up in price. And that's not necessarily true. It truly is a depreciating asset because you put in, you paint it, you have to, you know, all the things that you do to it. Does it really offset the increases that you're going to experience in the future? And highly unlikely. So you might see more and more people on the streets. People are losing homes. People can't pay their mortgages. Plus, if you have job losses, if 38,000 jobs were created last month, you know, just another sign. It's just that 2x4 that we see floating through the air.
It's no longer a leaf in the breeze. It's a 2x4 in the breeze. Is that what you're saying right now?
There's some things that are still leaves, and then there's some things that are 4x4s.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the 4x4s.
Well, and, eventually you get to the point where you see roofs flying by, and that's a good time to take cover. When
perhaps
you see people's, the neighbor's roof comes flying by your house, it'd be a good idea to get under something that will protect you.
And just one other thing about the housing crisis that was experienced, you know, the co-founder of Countrywide Financial, the U.S. prosecutors have abandoned their case against him, Mozilla. You know, he was the pioneer of the risky subprime mortgages. And, you know, he's 77 years old, living in a 13,000 square foot house, Santa Barbara. You know, writing his book about his life and, you know, investing in real estate. And, you know, so many people lost. He denies any wrongdoing, of course. And it wasn't Countrywide who was really the creator of the crisis, but they certainly did have a large probably did pay one of the largest roles in it. And I can remember them, you know, in all the financial news programs on, you know, the worthless TV, floating them along, Mozilla, he's out there pounding. And, you know, they were all part of it. But, of course, no criminal case is ever brought against anyone for no matter what they do. I think he paid, you know, some kind of a fine.
Well, if he was a poor person, we could bring a case against him if he was poor. Not rich people, Melody. Don't you understand that?
Oh, I understand.
They're entitled to break the law. They're entitled to break the law. You know why? Because they can afford enough lawyers to give the government fits. And if you can't afford a lawyer, you're exactly the kind of person that the government would like to pick on. But if you can afford a team of lawyers from a respected law firm, government would rather settle out of court. Or maybe not even file charges.
In fact, they even investigate, of course, his shares. You know, he sold his shares, his stocks. You know, they couldn't even get him in that leading up to the bursting of the mortgage bubble. So they all knew when it was coming. And, you know, it's just par for the course. So, you know, folks, no one is going to look out for you.
Yeah.
They're all out there doing what they can do for their own. And if you fall into their trap, and there's even folks out there who, you know, who set up traps that make you believe that it's the right thing to do. And what? Al? Did we lose Al? I'm not sure if we're on the air. So, I'm not sure if I am. But I don't know if we can go to break a little earlier. I think Al hears me, but I don't hear Al. Yes, he can hear me. So maybe if Frank is listening, maybe we can go to a break a little earlier so that we can all reconnect. If Frank isn't listening, I guess I'll just keep talking. And but I guess the housing market is something that, there's so many different ways that people lost in that situation. And nobody came to went to jail. Nobody was responsible for it. We do have a housing problem. I saw an article today in California about the homeless. It's just, they're getting out of control. But the one way that you can protect yourself against what we're going to face in the future, of course, I'm going to say is gold and silver. You take control of your finances. And I had a little thing here that I listened to the report the other day that I was going to talk about. That is the Jim Rickards investable assets of, and he breaks down if you had investable assets of $10,000, what you should buy. He says one American gold eagle. It's like, are you kidding me? If you have $10,000, if that's your investable assets, you buy one gold eagle, he's going to put you in other paper assets. That's just stupid. If $10,000 is your investable assets, you should either be buying all gold, all silver, or put half of it in silver and keep some cash. You shouldn't have anything in paper. $100,000. He tells you to buy 10 gold eagles and 100 silver eagles. What's the point? So he tells you to buy 10 gold eagles and 100 silver eagles, and then he's going to put you the rest in penny shares. That makes a lot of sense. So he breaks it down to $250,000, 20 American gold eagles and 100 silver eagles. Again, what's the point? For $500,000, 35 gold eagles and one monster box of silver eagles. So again, folks, I'm going to try to connect that.
Financial obligations or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adisk here on Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom. And the program is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. We just had several minutes of technical difficulties. And all I can say is don't blame them on me. I don't know what happened. But we are back, and we intend to stay back until the end of the program. What's next, Melody?
Absolutely. I just want to remind folks to visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com, and make sure you sign up for a weekly newsletter. And, of course, if you have any questions for the program, you can email me at discountgoldandsilver@yahoo.com, discountgoldandsilver@yahoo.com. Before we had a little bit of problem, I was talking about program that I listened to the other day and the advice of investable assets, and it was broken down in different segments of 10,000, 100,000, 250,000, 500,000, 1 million, and 10 million. And then they're only recommending that people, like for $10,000, get one American Gold Eagle. And it's like, what is the point? I mean, if you have $10,000 to invest, I would put that all in either gold or silver. Or put 8,000 in and keep some cash for yourself. But for one gold eagle, and then they put you in penny shares, penny stocks, penny mining shares at that, it's crazy. Absolutely crazy. Even at 500,000. I mean, these are not, it just doesn't even make sense to me. And they're very strong in their promotion of their penny shares and why it makes sense and that you can make oodles and oodles of money. But they fail to tell you of the risks. They fail to tell you and the premiums that you pay in order to get the advice. I mean, it's just accidents waiting to happen. So, again, if you want to speculate, there's nothing wrong with speculating. But make sure you back it up with enough gold and silver product, physical gold and silver product, to protect what you're speculating with. And it just baffles me. It doesn't, but it does. So if you have any questions, give us a call here at Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Al?
Yes. We have an article here from GoldEagle.com. It's entitled, Is It Time to Follow George Soros? All right. I can hear you grumbling now, Melody. Melody doesn't like George Soros.
I don't. Right?
I'm no fan of George Soros, but you got to give the devil his due.
And he is the devil.
Well, you still got to give the devil his due. He knows what he's doing. He has to be presumed to know what he's doing when it comes to investing. And the point to it.
They arrange things, and they're insiders, so they know exactly how.
It's
so they know
point.
What comes
I'm not,
their way.
I'm not advocating moral. George Soros as being a moral or ethical human being. All I'm saying is he knows what he's doing, and he's. The article says longtime successful investors like George Soros and Stan Druckenmiller. Druckenmiller was his chief of staff, essentially, for his investment. Soros investment enterprise. He says they're piling into gold and gold mining stocks. At the same time, there was news that Carl Icahn has dumped his high-tech Apple stock. In this article that I'm reading from, we will not discuss Soros' reflectivity, logics, or Icahn's activist approach to investing. They've all been successful with their own unique style. Get that. All right. That's as much as I'm reading out of the article. But here's the point to it. What does gold's newfound favor from George Soros and Stan Druckenmiller mean? It has to mean that Soros and Druckenmiller, who are not infallible, right, but nevertheless, they apparently believe the bottom is in for the price of gold. Despite Harry Dent's predictions of $700 gold falling to $700, Soros and Druckenmiller do not expect the price of gold to drop that far. If they did, they wouldn't have waited. If they did, they would have waited to invest billions of dollars in gold when that bottom was in. The fact that Soros and Druckenmiller have invested billions of dollars of gold in gold now is evidence that they don't expect the price to fall significantly, other than on a temporary basis. Yes, we've got gold. We're down. We're near $1,300. Who knows? It could fall back to $1,250. That's not impossible. But if it does, it will be a temporary event that will last for a few days or a week or so. The bottom, the implication of Soros, assuming the reports are true, that Soros has sold off 37% of his stock and is going in big time into gold, is evidence that they believe the bottom is in. And that from now on and over the course of the next several years, the price of gold is going to go up, 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 and up. Right? That's the implication. So do you want to follow Soros and Druckenmiller? I don't think it's a bad idea at this time.
You know, the problem with following those people and... You know, there's certainly the insiders, and just to, as far as following them, they're in and out of a lot of these markets, and you really don't know what they're truly trading on their own. I believe a lot of the, and I do think when you hear about Soros getting into the gold business, getting into the gold market, it should be mentioned, it should be talked about. But also, what, 3 months from now, they could be pulling out of the gold market. Then what do you go? Then, you know, because they don't believe in the fundamentals of gold. They believe in trading. They believe in getting in, you know, and they certainly have the, you know, they're dealing with billions of dollars. If something goes up a couple pennies, they make a fortune. So you also have to know that they don't follow the fundamentals. I think they're there because they think they could make some money.
Of course.
And that's what's notable. But 6 months from now, if they pull out, doesn't mean that the fundamentals for gold and silver have changed. It's that they're ready to go on to something else to where they can make some more, you know, but they're buying low and selling high, you know.
They're buying low. That's my point.
They're buying low. They're selling high doesn't mean it has to go to 3,000 and 5,000.
I agree.
They're selling high could be 1,350.
Circumstances can change.
Their high could be
1,350. They didn't... Soros didn't sell off 37% of his stock so he can watch the price of gold rise $75.
Well, Al, I'm giving an example, okay? Yeah. I'm just, my point, it's trying to make my point, they can pull out at any time. That doesn't mean the fundamentals for gold and silver has changed. Doesn't mean that our country has gotten our debt under control. Doesn't mean that we now have a currency that is backed by gold. It doesn't mean that we're not going to default. I mean, all of these things are going to happen. So you just have to be careful when you read a lot of these stories and follow them. And I, you know, I don't mean you. I mean the listeners. And you hear other people talk about them. Just remember, if they decide to change their way they go, because they've done this before.
Like I said, they're not infallible. I'm not arguing that these people are infallible.
Oh, and I'm not saying
for whatever reason they have to be presumed to be important, knowledgeable investors, and if they make a big move, you know, yes, they might be setting up some kind of a trap and the rest of that, but on the other hand, they may just be looking. They're looking at what they think are fundamentals. They think gold is going to go up, up, and up.
Oh, I'm not even saying they're setting up a trap. I'm just saying that, and I do think that they're buying low, and that is worthy. That is noteworthy. I'm just saying they could also change their mind on their trade a couple months down the road.
Yeah, so it's not we all the fun- can. We all can. That's the way that's what makes the markets. You know, I mean, everybody changes their mind. Who knows?
What's next?
I don't know. Here's another one. Gold miner to withhold sales. This is at ZeroHedge.com. Storing it for long term makes more sense at these prices. Last year, following an attempt to motivate the Commodities Future Trading Commission into investigating rampant manipulation of gold and silver prices, the chief executive of one of the world's leading silver companies called on other producers to withhold precious metals from the market in an effort to stem the fraud. All right? One guy, one chief executive, he said, look, this thing is rigged, and I'm not selling into it, and I recommend that everybody else stop selling your gold and your silver, mine it, pull it out of the ground, stick it in a box, and hide it under your bed. All right? We're not going to sell it into the market. Well, as it turned out, nobody basically paid much attention to him. However, just recently, one company has said, yeah, I think he's right. It says MX Gold Corp. asked Akash Patel and Chief Financial Officer Kenneth Philippe say that they are positioning their company to stockpile between 20 and 30% of their physical gold production in coming months, noting that prices are nowhere near where they should be at current supply and demand levels. They're just saying, look, the fundamentals are telling us we mine gold. I'm going to say these people ought to have some clue. They are not infallible, but they ought to have some clue. They mine gold. They believe the prices are far below what free market supply and demand should render. In an interview with SGT Reports, Philippe appears to be taking the stance of many precious metal investors, which is to stockpile the physical asset in anticipation of any number of potentially cataclysmic economic and monetary events like the hyperinflation we're witnessing in Venezuela. We want to take this gold and we want to store it. We believe that storing the physical gold in the vault makes a lot more sense than selling it at these prices. Gold is ready to move. We believe it's going to continue to rise. We're going to be storing our gold and holding it for the long term. They are telling, what's the story imply? One, it implies that at least some gold producers believe that the gold market is rigged to fraudulently suppress the price of gold. That's a theory that's been banging around for a long period of time, but it's one thing for people on the outside to kind of embrace this conspiracy theory. It's another thing for people on the inside to say, yeah, I think it's rigged. And that's one of the implications of this story. People on the inside who produce gold think the market is rigged. Two, it implies that at least some gold producers believe that the scheme to rig the gold markets is about to end. After all, what's the point to saving rather than selling your gold? You dig it out of the ground. You spend your money trying to get the gold out of the ground. You get it. You mine it. You refine it. And there it is in a box. And instead of selling it, they're going to store it. What's the point to storing it if they believe that the central banks, the London bullion market, Wall Street, and COMEX will be able to continue to rig the gold markets so as to suppress the price of gold for years into the future? The implication is of this strategy of storing some gold rather than selling it is that these producers believe that the mainstream markets, the rigging system is about to be terminated. And three, they believe that the price of gold will be increasingly determined by the free market rather than the gold cartel, and that the price of gold will therefore and soon rise dramatically. This is not a 2x4 in the breeze, but it's another one of those little instances of leaves in the breeze that tells us, look, Some people are out there and they really believe that the price of gold is going to go dramatically higher. They think the price has been rigged. They think the rigging is going to end, and perhaps in the very near future. And particularly if that rigging fails, then who's to hold down the price of gold? I mean, what is the true free market price of gold? We've been removed from it for so long that we don't know. Some people will tell you 50,000, some will tell you 20,000, 10,000, 5,000, 3,000. I don't know. And not many, I don't know if anyone else does either. I don't think you can. Until you turn it loose, you give it to the free market and say, okay, what do you think? Some people say 3,000, some say 5, some say more. And we kind of fight it out in the markets without being suppressed and artificially manipulated by the gold cartel and or whoever else it is that's trying to set prices for gold. It's another one of those leaves in the breeze that says, look, this thing is going to go, and it's going to go big. You know, we're watching just the idea that one person in England, a member of parliament, was assassinated, and therefore the price of gold dropped yesterday by $30 here in the United States. I'm not impressed by that. That might be the truth of the matter, but it doesn't strike me as, I think it's just an excuse for the cartel. We were up, we'd gone over the 1300 barrier in the price of gold, $1,300. It had gone up over the 1316. They knocked it down 30 some dollars. Very impressive. But it turned right around. Today it's back up another, what is it up today? And the last time I looked, it was like 19. I don't know what it is right this minute, but again, the free market came charging right back as I read it. All right? I said, we're not going to be bamboozled, and we're not going to fall for this excuse that some English member of parliament, some member of English parliament has been assassinated, and therefore the price of gold goes down $30. It does not compute for me. It might be the truth, but it doesn't strike me as logical. I look at this and see 1300 as a barrier that the powers that be are bound and determined they are going to prevent the price of gold from rising above 1300 if they possibly can, and it's beginning to look like they can't. They can't prevent it. The force of the free market is perhaps going to push over $1,300. I don't know where we're going to close today, and what will happen Monday, I don't know. But there's a battle going on here from my perspective that reminds me of Gettysburg. I mean, there's going to be lots of bodies littering the ground before this 1300 barrier is fully breached. And yet, I don't doubt for a minute it's going to be breached. Is it going to happen today? Is it permanently? Is it going to happen tomorrow? Can we rely on it? You know, Monday, will we be able to rely on it? I'm going to guess that the 1300 barrier could be reinstated any time before gold gets up to, say, $1,340 an ounce. And that's just a guess. When it gets past 1340, I don't think it's fallen back below 1300. If it goes to 1305, yeah, it'd fall back down to 1290. It can happen. I don't know where it can go. I think we're going to have to exceed. Break that $1,300 per ounce barrier by a significant amount, $30, $40. And then maybe that break will be permanent. And then where's it going? What's the next obstacle? $1,400, $1,500? Where do we stop? You know, gold is up 20%, 21% for the year. In 6 months, it'll be back during the gold bull market. If it went up 20% for a whole year, that was a good year. We're up 20% in less than six months. This has been an extraordinary year for gold. I don't doubt that it's going to continue. Let's take a break for some commercials. Melody and I will be back in just a moment. Please stay tuned to Financial Survival.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll free. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Got an article here from Business Insider, and the headline is Citi, meaning Citibank. Negative interest rates are experimental procedures that are utterly misguided. Citi Foreign Exchange has released a scathing assessment of negative interest rate policies being implemented by central banks. A brief note sent to clients on Thursday night, Citi analyst Gregory Marks provides a brutal analysis of the policies which are currently being implemented by, among others, the European Central Bank, Bank of Japan, and Sweden's Riksbank. He argues that we shouldn't trust the decisions of central bankers just because those who are in charge of monetary policy are extremely intelligent, well-educated, and have doctorates and qualifications coming out of their ears. Their intellects and credentials don't mean that they are exempt from occasionally being utterly misguided in their perceptions of positives versus negatives when it comes to economic theory and policy. Marx, comparing allowing negative interest rates to letting surgeons carry out experimental surgery on patients, said experimental procedures can produce unintended consequences, and their efficacy must be rigorously tested before wide release and adoption. He said, look, this negative interest rate is just taking a shot here. This is an experiment. Nobody knows what's really going to happen here. This is not tested, all right? And they're going to take a shot at it, and if the whole thing blows up, the whole thing blows up. This is imprudent at best. It may be that, according to some PhD's theories, well, this makes good sense, but it doesn't. Just because somebody went to college doesn't mean he's smart enough to impose negative interest rates, all right? What's wrong with all the brilliant PhDs who run the central banks and the world economy? How'd they make such a mess of the U.S. and global economies? Aren't they going to do the? Aren't they doing the best they can to manage our economies? Well, yeah, they are, within the context of one unspoken limit. They can't ever dare to suggest that our economies won't survive with fiat currency. All right? The fundamental premise of the economic system that dominates this country and the world is that we can use intrinsically worthless pieces of paper as money rather than gold and silver without any adverse consequence. It's all work out for the best as long as we just print this Monopoly money. We can get it from Parker Brothers. We can buy Monopoly money with a new, every Monopoly board you pick up, Monopoly game, you get a few, who knows? I don't know what they, how much cash they do they put in a Monopoly game anymore. It's probably millions. I don't know how it is. Why not? Go out and pay them $30 for the game and get millions of dollars worth of intrinsically worthless paper cash. Why couldn't we use that instead of Federal Reserve notes? If paper Federal Reserve notes and digital Federal Reserve notes are valuable and worthless and they can be used without any adverse consequences, then why not Monopoly money? Why not counterfeit money? Why can't I print money on my computer and use that? I can print a pretty decent representation of a $100 bill. Now, it's not going to have any safety strips in there. It's going to look a lot like a $100 bill. I can print it on both sides. Why not? If the Federal Reserve's $100 bills are intrinsically worthless, why is there something wrong with me printing my own intrinsically worthless $100 bills? What's the difference? The PhDs, they are operating under the fundamental premise that fiat currency is good. And so far as I know, I don't think any of them, Greenspan, Bernanke, Yellen, Paul Volcker. When was the last time anyone in the Federal Reserve said, look, this fiat currency thing is a mess, it's a lie, it's a treasonous mistake that can't be allowed to continue? Does anyone ever say that? And yet they think that they can save the economy or manage the economy when their whole philosophy is based on this fundamental idea that we can use fiat dollars. I don't think they can. I think that you won't get to be an officer or employee of a central bank unless you first pledge allegiance to the racket of fiat currency. Again, fiat currency is intrinsically worthless. It's pieces of paper, even digital ones and zeros that exist only on some computer's hard drive. Today, these intrinsically worthless debt instruments are no longer even promises to pay. The people that issue them, it used to be that if you took paper currency, you could charge it back against whoever issued it. They had to give you some gold. They had to redeem it. They don't even redeem it by law. The Federal Reserve doesn't have to redeem the $100 bills. The federal government doesn't redeem the $100 bills. They are promises to pay, and the people who made the promises by law don't have to keep them. They don't have to make the promise to pay. You know who redeems them? You do, ladies and gentlemen. Every time you go out there, you get a $100 bill in your pocket, and you go out and you buy something at the grocery store or wherever. The grocer is redeeming that $100 bill. The people that issued it, the government, the Federal Reserve, they don't redeem it. They don't give you anything real, tangible for it. You and I, you trade your labor, your work, your effort, your productivity. You trade it for worthless pieces of paper on the bet that you can find some other bozo out there who will accept it from you. You say, oh, I'll take the $100 bill because I know I can find some other idiot who will take it from me and give me something tangible. Maybe I can buy a bass boat or a pickup truck or a new house. But the government, the people that issue these things, they don't redeem them. They don't redeem them, and we're accepting them as if they are valuable, and they're not. Once the geniuses running the central banks accepted the premise that that fiat currency can be successfully used as a substitute for real money, that would be gold and silver. The logic of that irrational premise drove them to greater and greater acts of financial insanity. So far, negative interest rates are probably the highest expression of the idiocy and insanity of supposing that fiat currency is a valid substitute for real money, rather than something that's as self-destructive as arsenic for the economies that swallow it. Our central bank economists are undoubtedly bright and even brilliant, but they agreed to play by the rules of the game. And the number one rule was don't criticize, condemn, or expose fiat currency. That rule was irrational. That rule was at best insane and at worst treasonous. So the central banks didn't ever criticize, the central bankers didn't ever criticize fiat currencies. Based on that omission and failure in courage and integrity, our brilliant PhDs in the central banks have led the world to the brink of economic collapse and disaster. They should be tried for treason, for their failure to stand up and scream in favor of real money, gold and physical silver. We are facing the problems we're facing because we've trusted this fiat currency. It is absolutely insanity, if you ask me, and it's going to get us all in an enormous amount of trouble. So there, Melody.
Yes.
Yeah. Now it's time for you. See, I just filled in 8 or 10 minutes of the program. Now you have to find something to say. How about that?
I'm glad they're using negative rates. You know what? Maybe they'll bring this situation to a close sooner than later. it is crazy. It's insanity. It shows the desperation. And, you know, I'm going back to England, and, you know, the more I read about it, I mean, they really are anticipating if they pull out, if they vote yes, they're expecting markets to, you know, the whole, to have major impact.
Well, I don't doubt it would have some impact, but I wonder how much.
But it surprises me.
You know, it's going to take them two years to actually get out. They vote for it today.
That's true.
Removal is negotiated for 2 years. They don't actually get out for 2 years. During that 2 years, they have no input on what goes on in the European Union. They're still caught in their relationship with the Eurozone, but they don't have any control over what's going on within the Eurozone. But they've got 2 years before they'll be allowed to leave. And then, after they're allowed to leave, then they begin negotiating on whatever trade deals they want to work out with what remains of the European Union and Great Britain, which means this is not going to happen overnight. I had originally thought that this was going to be a deal where they voted to leave next Thursday and they were out by Monday, and that was the end of it. All right, that was kind of my suspicion on this thing. But it's not like that. They vote to leave, they're caught for 2 years. Even if they vote to leave, they're still in. So I don't know. I don't understand why they are concerned that markets are going to collapse unless they're concerned that they will collapse irrationally. I agree with that. I agree that this might be a trap set up by somebody like George Soros or whoever. Says we'll tell them that everything's going to collapse, and then they'll follow our lead. They'll sell all the stocks, and we can pick it up for a dime on the dollar. I can understand that as a possibility. But if they're not actually going to get out of this thing, this was according to Time magazine, if they're not going to get out for 2 years, why have a big reaction right now?
Well, I think a lot of it is just like, you know, if Trump can sit in the White House, you're just going to see all kinds of things go on without anything ever happening. It's the confidence. It's the uncertainty of what's going to happen. And you see these big knee-jerk reactions, and they might be for a very short time, or they could be a longer time. They can, you know, it's just like that, you know, the snowball running down the hill. It just gets bigger and bigger, and, you know, maybe it wasn't anything at all. But, you know, it's – and even running up to the vote, it's the uncertainty of what's going to happen after, you know, the vote comes back. And then again, you're going to see a lot of these other countries, you know, why wouldn't Greece say, well, you know what? I want to do my own currency again and get out of this debt and break our agreement and so forth and vote to leave. And so you can have that domino effect. But
it's probably
you have all these politicians. I mean, you know, I mean, they're coming against something that they're not, you know, you know, they're used to the control. Now, this is something that's kind of blossomed without their, you know,
Well, the control is based on public confidence in their ability to control.
Mm-hmm.
And something like that, we were just talking about the Federal Reserve and the central bankers have accepted a bogus premise that fiat currency is a viable form of money in this world. It's not. Based on that premise, they are coming to very hard times. Part of what they're doing, the whole idea of fiat currencies is backed by the full faith and credit of the people. As long as you and I are dumb enough to accept green pieces of paper and say, well, I'll take that, so you can give me these green pieces of paper, and I'll go pass it off to some guy down the street who runs a little hardware store, and I'll buy some stuff from him. He will redeem that note from me. When we get to a point where we lose our confidence in being able to redeem those $100 bills from our neighbors, it's at that point that the Federal Reserve becomes, you know, what do we need it for? You know, we lose confidence not only in the currency, but in the Federal Reserve. What do we need you guys for? You've brought us to disaster. Shall we trust you some more, or shall we take our trust and look for someplace else where we can put it? And whereas, you know, one of the other places you want to trust, put your trust in something, trust in gold. You know, trust in God, Lord, trust in the good Lord, number one, and trust in gold, number two.
And, you know, and again, but it's Friday, and I'm glad, and I just don't want to wish it. It's Father's Day this Sunday, so I just wanted to wish all the fathers out there Happy Father's Day. You know, there's even discussion that if Britain does leave, you know, you're looking at Cameron. He'll probably be forced to resign. So again, I mean, these are a lot of things, little things that no one talks about that could, you know, have major impacts. And bring a lot of volatility into the markets. And plus, there's also discussions that I don't have it in front of me, and I'm not an astrologist, but the full moon next week is supposed to bring the end of the world too. So,
what about the planet Nibiru or whatever it is? Planet X should be arriving at Dallas-Fort Worth Airport sometime next week, if I understand correctly. So, who knows?
You know, it's the
sky is falling.
I guess the planets,
Planet X that's falling.
The planets are aligning with the full moon. So,
okay. So
anyway, discount gold and silver, 1-800-375-4188. I didn't get a special out today, so everything, any orders from now until 6 p.m., you'll receive a free Silver Eagle, any order. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188.
Okay, folks, thank you for listening. Melody and I will be back on Monday. Have a good weekend. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. There never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.